Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
What I would like everyone to do, before I get into this brief message, is I want you to think, I want you to close your eyes if you can. And it's interesting, it ties in a little bit with this morning, but I'm just going with what God gave me. But I want you to think of a giant in your life, something that you see as insurmountable. Whether it's something that's recent or whether it's something that has been with you for years, even if it's something that you've said that that's never going to go away. I want you to consider that right now. And I don't care whether you're 5 years old or whether you're 500. Not that there's anyone 500 here tonight. But as I was sitting there, I particularly got this word in my head that, you know, you might be 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. If you're young here and you think that there's something that can't be overcome, I just want you to consider that. As I speak on who will move the giants. Okay, you can open your eyes if you haven't got them closed. If you've still got them closed, you can open them. It's very good. All right. Hebrews 3:16-19. Okay. And who was it who rebelled against God, even though they heard his voice? Wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? In verse 19, and this is probably more what it's about, so we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. I was reading this a couple of weeks ago. I was reading this scripture in Hebrews. And in Hebrews, I think it's 2, 3 and 4 and even 5, it talks about not able to enter his rest. And as I read it, something made me want to follow this through and to find out more about this particular scripture. And it's been spoken about before, and I think it's referring back to the book of Numbers, talking about the 2-spy and the 10-spy report. And I don't know whether it's not just me getting up here and telling you how it is. This is me. This message is me searching something out, because I really wanted to find out, and I want to know for myself what is entering his rest or what inhibits us. And so I considered this scripture, and I went back and I read from Numbers and chapter 13 and 14. I read a little bit through the story, and this message tonight is what I came up with as I studied it and had a bit of a look. But I had 4 things that I want to quickly bring out of this story tonight. And so, as I said, Hebrews 3 reflects back to Numbers and 13 and 14. And so the first reflection I had in this story, and if you don't know about the story, Moses basically sent 12 spies into the land, the promised land, to find out whether it was going to be okay to go into the land. And 2 spies came back with a positive report and 10 spies came back with a negative report. And this is a little bit about the story. Okay, so Numbers 13:27-30. And I'll read it from the screen because I've got some extras on the page which I don't want to read out. So 27 to 30. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. And I jump 29, and it follows on from 28. But 30 says, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once to take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." And my first reflection was, when all the spies went into the land, they all saw the same thing. They all saw the milk and honey. They all saw the powerful men, the large men, the giants. They all saw the same thing. But two of them came back and said, "We can take this. We can see it conquered." And the question I had is, did Joshua and Caleb go to a different area to where the other spies went to? Did they see something different? Was it any different to what anyone else saw? And it made me think of people in general. I don't know whether you've ever talked to different people about things that are going on in their life, whether it be issues in their life. Let's just say they're giants in their lives. And you talk to a certain person or people, and the giants don't seem that significant. And yet, what they're going through just seems to be so massive. And it's almost like they're taking this issue that's not significant and making it massive. And yet you talk to some other people, and what they're going through just seems insurmountable. And yet they're so positive about what they're going through. And as we see here in this first reflection I have, the spies all saw the same thing. I don't think Joshua and Caleb saw any less sized giants than what the other guys saw. But what was it that was different about them? Okay, so that's the first reflection. The second reflection is, who will move the giants? So we can take that scripture down just for the moment. Jono, that'd be great. Verse 19, if we go back to Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 19 says, "So we see because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest." So by that, when I see rest, I think of opposites. When I see belief, I think of opposites. Unbelief, I think of opposites. And so if I do equals here, to me, belief equals rest. And unbelief equals work. See, resting is realizing God's strength in a situation, not your own ability to fix things. You have an issue and you want to see it fixed, but you can only have it fixed as long as it's fixed on your terms. Or you're happy for God to be involved with it, but you want him involved conditionally, as long as this happens or that happens. So when we see the reflection of Joshua and Caleb, they said, God will move the giants. I believe the other guys saw it and said, what have we got to do to move these giants? And we can't do it, so we can't enter. So they were able to see these giants dealt with. They couldn't see the finished product of how it was going to happen, which is the belief aspect. Or you think of the 10 spies, they go, you know what? We can't see what's going to happen. We can't see the end result. So we can't believe that it's possible. So they had unbelief. You know, the Bible says that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And I read a bit of a reflection on this, and it said that in a New Testament context, so when we think of this story in the New Testament context, our belief centres on the superiority of Jesus Christ. the truth of who he is, fully God and fully man, and his atoning work for us as a faithful high priest. And the second reflection that I read here was that when we trust in these things, that Jesus and his superiority works, and when we make them food for our souls, so when we eat them in, when we make it food for our souls, we enter into God's rest, which is the opposite of unbelief. When we don't believe that Jesus is superior, the superiority of him. 1 John 4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." So let me ask, when do you feel under pressure? When do you feel like you haven't got belief? And I asked someone this week, and they answered this way. They said, "Whenever the situation I'm going through is bigger than what God can do for me." Just think about that for a minute. Whenever the situation that I'm going through is bigger than what God can do for me. They said they get testy, they get antsy, they feel pressure, they get edgy. I'm probably the same. I get edgy when I sense that the situation is bigger than what God can do for me. But God says that nothing is impossible for him. Okay, so the second thing was, who will move the giants? Is it you that's got to do the work, or is it God going to do the work? Okay, here's the third one. The third reflection was on the names of the 12 spies, which was really interesting. So let's read Numbers 13, 1 to 4. "The Lord now said to Moses, 'Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes.' So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. These were the tribes and the names of their leaders." Okay. So here's the names. I know it might sound insignificant, but it's significant to me. Here's the names and the meaning of the names of the people who went in to search out the land. Now, you would think that the 10 spies would have names like unfaithful, not good enough, can't see the forest for the trees. You'd think that they would have names like that. But here's the names of the people that went in. From the tribe of Reuben, Shemua, and his name meant God heard. From the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, his name meant judge. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, his name, he was one of the ones that entered, his name is open heart. From the tribe of Issachar, Igal, and his name meant God redeems. From the tribe of Ephraim, and this is Joshua, and his name meant God will save. From the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, his name meant rescued by God. From the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, his name was good fortune from God. From the tribe of Joseph, Gadi, his name was good fortune. From the tribe of Dan, Amiel, his name, God of my people. From the tribe of Asher, Sether, his name, discretion. From the tribe of Nabi, his name meant hidden one. And finally, from the tribe of Gul, from the tribe of Gad, his name is Gul, and his name meant redeemed by God. Interesting, they didn't walk in the name that God had given them. God had given them plenty, and yet they didn't walk in that. Numbers 3, 31 to 32 says, "But the other men who explored the land with him disagreed." This is, they disagreed with Joshua and Caleb. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we travelled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. What does your name mean? If you're a Christian here today, God gave you a new name. He gave you a new heart. Are you going to walk in it? What report are you going to believe? What report are you going to bring? See, no matter where your life has been, what negative words have been spoken over your life, or where it is right now, or how it looks, God's future for you looks very different in His hands. He says He's given you a new heart. He's given you every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. You're a new creation, that you've been set apart, that you're adopted by God, that you are more than a conqueror, and that you are righteous, and many more things He has said about you. But what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe it and walk in it, or are you not going to believe it and not enter into His rest? So the third thing was, walk in who you are, not what you have seen or what you see. Walk in who you are. The final reflection I have on this as I close is this. Are you happy to leave the giants in place? In your life, are you happy to leave them in place? Forgo the fruit and the milk and honey and go back to Egypt under slavery. Numbers 14, 2-3 says, their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness. They complained, why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Now, that would have to be one of the stupidest statements to ever come out of the mouths of a group of people. In short, the promises of God are too hard. So let's go back under slavery, because that is easier than freedom. Very interesting, that, about slavery, and it's interesting that we talked a little bit about it this morning. But, you know, when you're in slavery, you don't take responsibility because you don't have to, and you don't have a choice. And I've seen a lot of people in slavery that don't want to take responsibility because they're under slavery, and they don't make good choices because they use the excuse that they're under slavery. You know, sometimes giants in our lives, in your life, might take some moving. You know, trust God first. Believe that He can bring you through. And then find out what you can do in partnering with Him. You've got to believe that God can bring you through first. And you know, from your point of view, it might take some prayer, some humility, some giving up, some letting go, some accountability, some forgiving, some apologising, some admitting there is a problem. It might take some believing Him. It might take some responding, and it might take making a decision. Whatever the case, God's desire is that the giants come down and you live in freedom. And so tonight, as I close, if I could have the worship team up here tonight again. Those four reflections. The spies all saw the same thing. The second reflection was, who will move the giants? If it's in your hands, it will seem insurmountable, but it's in God's, anything is possible. The third thing is in the names. God's given you a name. He's given you a new heart. You're part of a new family. Walk in who you are. Don't get caught up in what you see around you, going on around you. And the fourth thing is, I ask you this question tonight. If you, when you closed your eyes, if you said, there's a giant in my life and I just can't seem to see it overcome, I want to ask you this. Are you happy to leave the giants in place, forego the fruit and milk and honey, and go back to Egypt under slavery? Can I get everyone to stand, please? Tonight, it might be just a moment where you need to make a decision that you say no more giants. It could be a sickness in your life. It could be a relationship difficulty. It could be a habit that's hard to break. It could be a way that you're living at the moment. Whatever it is, it's a good opportunity to quickly respond and to put it in God's hands and then ask Him what you need to do in partnering with Him. But let's not leave the giants in place and want to go back to Egypt under slavery. If you know, as you thought about the giant, that you need to respond tonight, all I can say is now's the time to do it. We will quickly pray with you and then we'll close the service. Guys, that last song's probably the one you can do, if that's all right, the last one you did. Do you remember which one? Thanks. So let's pray. God, I just thank you for your healing power. I just thank you that you have victory over every situation. And God, sometimes we don't know where to start or where to go with it, but sometimes it's just a response for you, to respond to you. And so God, on this awesome day, I pray that we would see giants defeated tonight and people would be able to walk in freedom, maybe for the first time in their lives. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your life-changing and powerful word, and we pray that it's your power that goes before us and your might. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.